Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
I'm opposed to our wasting our military in the Middle East on behalf of Zionist Israel. Thank you. Okay.
All right, well, let me just tell you that Israel is a very, very important ally of the United States, and we are going to protect them 100%.
Let me go on record. Anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. The Trump administration opposes it unequivocally.
Now, let's be clear. If being anti-Israel and anti-Israeli policies has a new definition in the 20th century as being anti-Semitic, then you should know, Mr. Councilman, you are representing a community of thousands of Torah-true Jewish anti-Semites, because we are all united as anti-Israel and anti-Zionism. But you know that this is not the case. We are not anti-Semites. You should well know that tens of thousands of Torah-true Jews living in metropolitan New York and worldwide are simply following the teachings of Grand Rabbi Joel Teitelbaum of Satmar. He was titled as the Chief Rabbi of Jerusalem. He wrote this book, known as Vayol Moshe. In this book, he wrote hundreds of pages denouncing the Zionist enterprise based on biblical and Talmudical passages. Now, Mr. Councilman, would you believe that Grand Rabbi Joel Teitelbaum should be titled as an anti-Semite because of his
When were Palestinians born? What was all this area before the First World War? When Britain got the mandate over Palestine, what was Palestine then? Palestine was then the area between the Mediterranean and the Iraqi border.
You say there's no such thing
as
Palestine?
East and West Bank, no. East and West Bank was Palestine. I'm a Palestinian.
July 12th, 2019. Thank you for joining me today. It's going to be a special focused show, maybe a little bit shorter than usual, specifically focusing on something that I actually am not seeing anywhere in Western media, but it's not that surprising at all, and you'll see why, something we've covered many times in the past. And I will follow up tomorrow with some of the other stories that I might not have touched on today, but this is an important story. And as always, in regard to the back and forth between Gaza and Israel and the information that's coming out of both sides of these the rockets firing from Gaza and the missiles fired from Israel, and depending on who fires first, and every single time it is aggressively misrepresented. And as we're seeing today, as always, it gets put out from largely Israeli-based media. And if ever on the Western media, they pick up the same narrative, they put out a very one-sided, in very one-sided manner, ignoring ultimately what usually started the conflict and the context around the event. You know, what the daily lives are like for the people actually fighting for freedom in Gaza and West Bank, as well as seemingly suppressing social media around this event today. I'm going to get into all of this, and as you may have guessed already, it's in regard to what one side is saying, are Gaza firing rockets at Israel, and then we're actually having some instance of some reporting of missiles and attacks happening in Gaza, possibly before this event took place. I'll let you decide that for yourself. But again, recognize that you're not probably seeing this anywhere else today. And just at face value, that should be shocking to you. Recognizing a nuclear power essentially getting into a conflict with another location should be important news. But it usually isn't. especially in regard to Israel and U.S. allies in particular. But for the first article, coming from the Times of Israel, entitled, Two Rockets Fired from Gaza Towards Southern Israel, No Injuries Reported. Which is kind of always the way these play out, which for me, as you may have caught in previous shows, is a point of skepticism for me. I mean, they could have accidentally hit something by this point. It always seems to be, not to say that they haven't ever hit anything, but the point is almost always it ends up being a balloon or a rocket that lands in a field, no damage, no injuries. And then, of course, a massive attack and offensive that kills people going back against Gaza without any investigation on where these rockets came from, who fired them, especially recognizing that people within Israel very much want a conflict with Gaza, very much want a conflict with Palestine in general, Palestinians. And to recognize that there's at least someone out there that would like to create this, possibly going as far as to lie, to initiate this themselves, to make it happen, or just any other possible thing that could have happened. And we always see this immediately going on to pinning it on people in Gaza, not just Hamas, as much as they say Hamas, but then bombing Gaza full of civilians because of the way this happens. Now, the Israeli Defense Forces said today, and it was Friday evening, that two rockets were fired from the Gaza Strip towards southern Israel. Now, again, both rockets fell in apparently open areas and caused no damage, no injuries, no casualties. Now, again, just really think about how often we hear that, even with the balloons and everything else that we ever never really even get verified. They just say it happens. Again, you would have accidentally hit something by now. Something you should consider, especially in the context of whether or not this was created by the people who want to create this conflict. Now, of course, the Times of Israel wrote in their article, southern Israeli communities are regularly targeted by rockets fired by Gaza terrorist groups, and then goes on to address other things. Oh, but then fails to include that there's also lots of attacks coming from Israeli on the occupied Gaza, right? This isn't just two neighboring areas that are battling back and forth. This is an occupied location, illegally occupied by the Israeli Zionist government, firing into an area that they're holding in basically an open-air prison. It's quite a bit different. But even if it is firing first from Gaza, which has happened, to only frame it as if these people in Israel are constantly under attacks by terrorists is wildly disingenuous and not there's no journalistic integrity in any shape or form in that. That is trying to manipulate people reading this article. That's always what these come down to. You have to include that, yes, there has been unilateral, unprovoked attacks coming from Israel. And as well as never, ever including where this actually really started. Now, the Gaza Health Ministry, of course, they said that, and this is, again, something that's generally kind of a side note and left out. In addition, there were 55 people injured, 33 of them by live fire. Of course, also don't include, these are peaceful protesters not doing anything but protesting their right to self-determination, the human rights that everybody else in the world is supposed to be entitled to, but not these people in Gaza because Israel says so and the U.S. backs them. But recognize that there's been a long, long, continual day after day, weekend after weekend of people peacefully protesting and getting shot, tear gassed, and killed. And no one seems to care about that. But as always, if this was happening in Venezuela, if this was happening in Syria, oh no, then it would be a huge deal. Benefit of the doubt going to what the U.S. says, not to what you know Israel say or what the Gazans are saying about this. In this case, it's always the benefit of the doubt to the U.S. and Israel and their claims. But again, if it was on the flip side and Maduro was saying this, of course, it would never give him the benefit of the doubt. It's just right in your face contradictions, hypocrisy. Now, of course, you may think, oh, well, Maduro's the bad guy, so that makes sense. But, you know, dig into that slightly and you can recognize how flimsy that narrative is. Now, earlier on Friday, today, the IDF deployed further batteries of the Iron Dome missile defense system in the south of the country as they apparently were threats to avenge the death of a man named Mohammed Ahmad Sabri al-Adhaim, who was apparently shot dead a day earlier by troops that claimed he was a terrorist. In what the army is now actually characterizing as a misunderstanding. Whoops. Sorry, we killed your brother, your son, your father. Whoops, our bad. And of course, this is just not, you know, this is a side note. This isn't included. No reason anybody would want to respond to the murder of their family member. Now, on Thursday, in an unusual move yesterday, the military actually acknowledged that Mahmoud, I believe is his name, I might have mispronounced it first, 28 years old, had actually been erroneously identified by soldiers as an armed terrorist. but was apparently trying to stop Palestinian youths from allegedly breaching the security fence, which, by the way, they regularly do because, you know, they're in an open-air prison. It's always framed that they're doing terrible, evil things by trying to cut their way out of an aggressive military occupation. But recognize what they said right there. Oops, we accidentally said he was a terrorist and murdered him. But it was just a casual misunderstanding. You know, again, of course, this is all written as a side note, not potentially involved in why they decided to respond. Just casually mentioning as a side note, yeah, you know, Israel killed a young man that they claimed was a terrorist at the time, but then admitted he wasn't. But it's all okay because it was just a quirky misunderstanding, right? It's all good. No, it's not. And this happens every single day in this occupied prison that they live in. People being shot with no justification, no mechanism for actual repercussions or actual justice. They do not have rights in this area, as much as they'll say different. I'll play some stuff at the end as well. Some of the things I started with were just so you understand all of the one-sided narrative around what Israel Zionist government is today and how aggressively they're trying to make it to where even to point out something like this and say, yeah, it's wrong that they shot that kid in the head and nobody got held accountable for it. Oh, you anti-Semite, how dare you point out the crimes of a government? If it's Israel's government, of course you can't do that. That's where we are today. Zionism is not anti-Semitism. Just like the Jewish people you were in the beginning said very clearly. How ridiculous to call those Jewish people anti-Semites. But here, that's where we are today. That's what our government wants you to think. That's what Israel's government wants the world to think. But that's why the BDS movement is growing so rapidly, because people recognize what they are. Not the country. The government that's led it astray. Yeah, there's a lot of brainwashed people in that country, just like there's a lot of brainwashed people in the U.S. But it doesn't mean that they're inherently evil. It means the government is the problem. They're the ones breaking the rules, not holding people accountable like this. Now, add an addition to that, to the story. Again, all this stuff is just kind of casually either side-noted or left out completely when covered by the few Israeli outlets that actually do cover this, always with an aggressive slant. There's another part to the story that is being, you know, casually left out. Oh, there was a Palestinian child shot in the head today by Israeli forces in the West Bank. Of course, that's no reason for anybody to actually be upset and react, right? Of course not. You would imagine, I'm sure, there's already people already getting arrested and things are already happening. No, not at all. Nothing. Just like always. Benefit of the doubt given to the occupiers. Oops, we shot your child in the head. Shouldn't have been near the fence. That's your fault. Even though that's not what happened. I'm just using that as the reference that they always do. That's usually what they say. Oh, those terrorists putting their children towards the fence. No, that's an occupied people standing up for their rights, knowing that they may be shot for it. So the world starts paying attention, which it is, by the way. Now, this 10-year-old Palestinian child was shot in the head with live ammunition used by Israeli forces during a protest in the occupied West Bank. Now, eyewitnesses told the French press agency that Israeli forces used violent tactics to break up the protest on Friday. That shouldn't be shocking to you. Despite what the U.S. government tells you and despite what the Israeli government tells you, I mean, I could sit here for the next 3 days straight and not end. I could seamlessly play one after the other, a video, document, audio, over and over and over of evidence of them shooting children, shooting women, shooting medics, shooting journalists, covering it up, lying about it, getting caught for it, over and over and over, over. I mean, I'm talking just, say, the last so many years. But it's gone way before that. All the evidence is there for you to see. But they want you to think otherwise. They want you to think that it's all, you're just jumping to conclusions here. There's no reason to assume that the Israeli government is breaking the law or violating international rights or violating international resolutions, such as illegally occupying the Golan Heights or illegally occupying Gaza or illegally going into Lebanese airspace or illegally bombing Syria and on and on and on and on. Violating rules and breaking them everywhere with impunity. And here we are shooting a 10-year-old child in the head because he dared to protest for his rights. Now, here is actually just the video is allegedly, you know, what is being shown as the child being loaded in an ambulance. I haven't, you know, can't verify that's what it is, but this is what's being spread today as that child being shot. And this has been confirmed by multiple outlets, people on the ground. Yes, this child was shot. Not, I mean, again, it shouldn't be very surprising to us. We've seen this on and on and on for a long time. covered up, lied about. We just talked about the journalist that was shot. They lied about, they covered it up. They pushed him to the ground. They said he was fighting. It turns out they wasn't. And they said, oops, our mistake. Guess what? Nobody was held accountable. We have the video of the settlers, the illegal occupiers, setting fires around in Palestinian lands. And they lied and said, oh, it was them. They did it. Oh, but we have video. They got caught. They admitted they got caught. And then guess what? No one got held accountable. Even when they get caught lying, even when they get caught with evidence showing they committed a massive felony, a huge crime, nobody gets in trouble because they don't care about the Palestinian people. And guess what? If you actually listen to what the Israelis have to say, the government, they're very open about it. It's just that this U.S. government just simply lies and says, no, they didn't mean it like that. They don't actually hate these people. They care about them. It's a democracy. They're fighting for freedom. They want it to be equal. And then you just listen to any one of Netanyahu's cabinet. It's like, they're obviously lying about what they think. It's ridiculously obvious. So they're clearly, there is what some would consider a justification for fighting back. Children being shot in the head. Other men being shot for no reason. There's a justification for some people to take action. So just at face value, if everything they're saying is true, you can't just dismiss it as some kind of terrorist act. These are people being occupied with a boot on their neck, limited water per day, limited electricity per day, not allowed to leave, not allowed to go fish unless they say so. And then they kill your family and then, oh, you can't even do anything about it because you're a terrorist. Now, as I said, the Gaza Health Ministry said 55 people were injured, 33 of them by live fire, just in the same day. Every single day, every single march and protest, people get shot. No one cares. No one holds them accountable because the U.S. is shadowing the whole thing. And everyone seems afraid to challenge that today. So this just these two are focal points for a specific reason. It doesn't mean they're the only two that got hurt, killed, or shot. But add to this story this aspect, and I found this to be very interesting because I couldn't find anywhere information about this other than Times of Israel, Haaretz, nothing, which is really, really rare, especially coming like Twitter. You always have video and clips of people who saw things happen. Nothing today. And I luckily saw this from Press TV breaking. Gaza under attack. Israel just fired upon al-Maghazi refugee camp. Okay, so I find this, nothing else. And guess what? The timing of it is exactly the same time. So it's possible if this is taken at face value, which we should question everything. It appears as if it's possible that in fact, Gaza was fired on at this refugee camp. Because yeah, you want to fire on these evil terrorist refugee camps. And then Gaza responded. Because the timing seems to be pretty damn close. Or it's possible that Gaza fired and Israel responded by killing a bunch of refugees because that's what they've done in the past. You know, oh, well, it must have been Hamas and we're going to bomb Gaza because Gaza's Hamas, right? Doesn't matter. We kill civilians. No one cares. They just killed civilians in Syria with an illegal strike. No one cared. Get away with murder, literally. But consider the reality that either they're covering that Israel bombed a refugee camp or at least bombed Gaza, or that covering that Gaza was responding to Israeli attacks first, which has actually happened in the past numerous times where it's been proven that Israel lied, that they manufactured a justification. And then when Gaza responded, they fired and claimed they fired first. It happens over and over. Is that what happened for sure this time? I don't know. But we have to consider that's possible, especially knowing, as I said, that they very, very much want this to happen. But it's frustrating to see this. Now, here's actually the image, pretty much the only one I could find. It's old, I think, at least from 2017. But you can see the refugee camps, which fun is just, you know, chicken pox there. All these refugee camps in an area they claim is the democracy where they live in their home, right? Sure. And it's funny, recognize refugee camps. It's not like people are flooding into the Gaza Strip. This isn't a military-controlled area. These people are living in refugee camps in their home. They're not passing through. This is where their life is. Just recognize that. In a military occupied area that they claim is a democracy. But just so you can see where it is, right there, right in the center, one of those orange dots, this is the refugee camp they're claiming was fired upon. Now, this time has been very interesting for me. As I said a second ago, that there has been nothing, no video, which it's reasonably soon. Maybe something popped up since I've gone live. But I recognized that there was no video from either side of rockets being launched. But I get the sneaking suspicion that something here is being suppressed, and here's why. As I was going through this, I started looking back for the guy. I wish I would have taken an image of it first on the Twitter feed, but I went back to look for the Press TV link that I saw when I just typed in Gaza on the Twitter search. And guess what? It wasn't there anymore. There was the video that someone shared hours before the attack, but all of a sudden the Press TV tweet was gone. And so I'm thinking, okay, wait a minute. Maybe there was a mistake. Maybe they got it wrong. Maybe they deleted it. Thinking, okay, because you can see clearly, oh, look, Times of Israel right there at the top. Nothing else. No other images, no other clips. But then I went to Press TV themselves. And yeah, sure enough, it's still there on their feed. With Gaza very clearly in it. And yet somehow, it's like it disappeared right in front of me. And on the feed itself, on the feed on Twitter, you can see it's simply not there. And it was when I first started, that's why I saw it. I typed in Gaza and I saw it right there, right beneath that video. And all of a sudden it's gone. In addition to that, recognize that there's also no other videos, no other tags. There's nothing else, no tweets, nothing. I heard a bomb. I heard a noise. There's always something, but not this time. And it could, maybe I'm jumping the gun. Maybe it's going to come up in the next hour. But the fact that Press TV tweet just kind of disappeared on me, but yet it's still on their feed, shows me that to some degree, at least passively, this is being suppressed. So we don't see what's happening, at least until they can cultivate the narrative. I mean, really think about that. But even if this is just some glitch, which is possible, and there's no social media suppression, which I think we all know isn't true, there's quite obviously real-time mainstream media suppression. I always find it amazing, baffling, how blatantly the mainstream media does not cover these Israeli military acts, as if it's not newsworthy that a nuclear power is bombing another nation illegally. Just imagine what the mainstream media would do if, say, Russia bombed the Ukraine, right? With all the same data points. I think you know what would be happening right now. Exactly the same story, but you put Russia in place and you put Ukraine in place. We know what would be happening. So why not now? I think you also know the answer to that. And there are always those who cover this, but with the intention of painting Israel as the internal victim and the reluctant hero, regardless of the facts and the context. And despite the Zionist government currently violating numerous international resolutions, currently illegally occupying more than one sovereign nation, and regularly killing men, women, and children in the process. And this next story is exactly the kind of context that they will just so happen to leave out of the story. This coming from Middle East Monitor from the day before, entitled Israel Military Reporter, Gaza War, not far away, will be deadliest yet. So the day before this all happens, this is what they're saying. Apparently a new war between Israel and Palestinian factions in the occupied Gaza Strip is, quote, not far away and will be deadlier and more destructive than any previous, according to the Jerusalem Post's military correspondent in Israel. Now the military chief of staff, Lieutenant General Aviv Kochavi, quote, has already approved operational combat plans and recently set up an administrative unit to handle the formation of a list of potential targets in the coastal enclave. Yeah, the place that they're militarily occupying and that they control the electricity and the water. And yeah, they're planning a military offensive right now. Even have picked their targets. It says, quote, ammunition and weapons have been restocked with four times the amount as before the last war. And military intelligence has hundreds of targets ready. Now, according to the correspondent, the Israeli military, quote, knows the next war will include an all-out ground offensive and that, quote, thousands of soldiers will enter Gaza in tanks, armored personal carriers under cover of massive bombardments and Navy gunboat fire. Now, what is this? Is this because there's justification for it? Did something happen? No. They're just simply saying, we know what's going to happen. Now, you could take that because you think, oh, well, because Gaza's constantly attacking them. Or maybe it's because they want this to happen and always have. And if you actually did your research and read what they've said before, you can see it's clear they very, very much want this to happen. Planning targets, planning what they're going to... I mean, this is very obvious the day before this happened. At the very least, you should be considering, yes, if this was triggered to make this happen. It's something that they want. Something they are planning for. That they're eager for. And we're supposed to assume that they would not lie to create it, or create a fake event to justify it, or simply lie to maintain it, exactly what we've seen them do before over and over, exactly what their ally, the U.S., is doing right now over and over. Are we just supposed to assume that that's not even possible? Apparently. We're in a time where no such action, military action by world powers, can be taken until sufficient evidence has been presented on the world stage. The very thing that they never, ever do anymore. We get claims and then we get insulted. How dare you not trust your government officials that have lied to you over and over and over throughout the past? But we're offended. Oh, I'm you un-American, Russian bot. How dare you question your government? As the founding fathers outlined we're supposed to do on a regular basis. But we'll forget about that. This is where we are today. We need to start holding these people accountable. We need to make sure that they have to prove their claims before they take military action. Knowing how often they've lied before and how the vile things they've said about the very people they claim are attacking them. Thank you for tuning in today. I'll follow up tomorrow with some of the other stories I may not have touched on, but this is important to get this out there, especially since nobody else seems to be talking about it. You know, under cover of the Epstein story, always Israel always seeming to carry these out under the cover of bigger stories. I'm sure that's just coincidence. I love you all. Thank you for tuning in. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
This is the Defense Minister, Moshe Yaalon, talking just a couple of weeks ago. Israel is going to hurt Lebanese civilians, to include kids of the family. We went through a very long discussion. We did it then. We did it in the Gaza Strip. We are going to do it in any round of hostilities in the future. That's the Defense Minister. This is the Military Chief of Staff, Benny Gantz. The next round of violence will be worse and see this suffering increase. He headed up the military assaults on Gaza, the last two. This is the Minister for Education in the Netanyahu government. There will never be a peace plan with the Palestinians. I will do everything in my power to make sure they never get a state. He also said, if you catch terrorists, you simply have to kill them. I've killed a lot of Arabs in my life, and there's no problem with that. This is the Minister for Justice. Palestinians are all enemy combatants. This also includes the mothers of the martyrs. They should follow their sons. Nothing would be more just. They should go, as should the physical homes in which they raised the snakes. Otherwise, more little snakes will be raised there. That's the Israeli Minister for Justice in the last few months. The Israeli Minister for Deputy Minister for Defense. Palestinians are beasts. They are not human. The Minister for Foreign Affairs, C.P. Hotley, this is the last one. My position is that between the sea and the Jordan River, there needs to be one state only, the State of Israel. There is no place for any agreement of any kind that discusses the concession of Israeli sovereignty over lands conquered in 1967. Now, these are the official statements of several ministers of the current government of Israel. In one case, actually advocating genocide of all Palestinians, including children, and calling them snakes. Now, can I ask you, Taoiseach, do you not think that if we're defining terrorism, that is the language and thinking of terrorists, that it is absolutely unacceptable in civilized politics, in civilized international relations, for the heads of government of a state that we carry on normal relations with and who you met in Paris to advocate those sort of views when we know they have also led on to the deaths of thousands of Palestinians, innocent men, women and children? What have you to say, Taoiseach, about those sort of views being expressed by the Israeli government?